All right, I'm super excited. So here we go. Also, side note, when I get excited, I speak really fast. You may have to tell me to slow down if that happens. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about myself and about the ministry that I do on campus. And it's just really good to be here this morning to preach. So just so you know, I don't have much experience in preaching. The last time I preached, I was 17. That was a very long time ago. I don't have any formal education, but I do have what I like to call the school of experience. So when I do campus work, I get a lot of training. So Pastor Rob mentioned that I spent over 40 hours studying the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So this is what I like to consider a trial run before I teach Genesis to my students in a couple of weeks. I trust that what God has for us in His Word this morning is good. We started our journey in the book of Genesis last week, and this week we will continue on, and we will be focusing our attention on the creation of humankind. I love Scripture, and I love when it becomes alive and when it kind of, punches you in the gut, and you just feel like, dang, God's alive and He's good. And this passage does that for me. It's one of my favorites, and I want to share with all of you this morning our createdness in the image of God. I'm a staff worker at heart. So when it comes to studying Scripture, I love it when we encounter Jesus for ourselves firsthand. In our ministry, we discover Jesus through the manuscript method. So I figure I'll lead you in a manuscript study this morning. So I hope you came to church ready to stick around for about an hour or so, because that's how long it takes to go through a passage. Don't worry, it won't take an hour. But we will still do manuscript this morning, and students, brace yourself. We're going to do it in 3 minutes. Now, if you have a bulletin in hand, why don't you pick it up, flip it to the back of it, and you'll find today's passage printed on it. When we do manuscript, my page usually looks something like this, okay? So I know you don't have your colored pens, students. You don't have maybe pens or pencils, but that's okay. In our turbo manuscript, which we'll do in 3 minutes this morning, I'm going to get you to read the passage. If you have a pen or pencil in hand, it will be really handy. And what I'd like you to do is that as you read the passage this morning, I'd like you to take note of the following questions. What are some repeated words or phrases you've noticed in this passage? Who is or who are the main characters in this passage? And perhaps what are one or two questions? So this is quite interactive this morning. So I'm going to give us 1 minute to read the passage and quickly in that 1 minute, note some repeated words, maybe note a question, and then we're going to do something different this morning. I'm going to get you to respond to me. So 1 minute to do that. I will put the passage up here if you don't have a bulletin. Said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." All right. Oops, we'll go back. Now, students, you know the drill, so I'm banking on you guys to jump in and interact with me. For the rest of us, I invite you to interact with the passage with me this morning. So we don't do this in church, but I'm going to get you to holler out your responses. So when I ask a question, feel free to just speak up, all right? So, first question, what are some repeated words or phrases you've noticed in this passage? Good, over. Dominion. Our. Image. God. Created. Pretty good. All right. Who are or who is the main characters in this passage? God. men. Men, that's right. Yes, you're going to be a great, you know, small group participant when you come to university. Raising up the next generation, guys. What's one or two questions that you may have? Who's us? That's a great question. Maybe one more question. Great. What does it mean to be made in God's image? Great. That's a 3-minute turbo manuscript. We usually take longer than that, but. That's a great question, and I'm excited to answer that question in a bit. All right. Thank you for participating. I love a lot of interactive, you know, way of learning. We'll come back to some of the things that have been mentioned. So a lot of the words, your questions, are things that we'll be looking at this morning. For now, I want to take us back just a little bit to the whole creation story, because the passage for this morning is part of a bigger story. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep." I'm going to get you to imagine with me for a while. You can close your eyes if you like to. Imagine darkness as far and as wide and as deep as you can. Now hold that picture for a moment. Now imagine yourself in that darkness. How does that make you feel? Feel free to respond. Small, lonely, alone, scared, abandoned, useless, good word. Overwhelmed, yeah. Suffocated, lifeless. All right, go back to that image. Now imagine a speck of light piercing through that endless darkness. How does it make you feel now? Hopeful, alive, excited. Probably a sense of relief that you can actually breathe, that there's space. From that endless darkness that I got you to picture, God created something that had form and order. On the column to your left, right here, God separates. He separates darkness from light, waters and skies, seas and dry ground. What was formless and void now has form and function. What was once unlivable now can sustain life. Now, after giving form, God filled it. The column to your right, you'll see him filling the darkness with the sun and the stars and the moon, the seas and the air with living creatures, and dry land with created beings. I love that image. It's really cool to see how intentional God was in his creation. And the best part of all of this is that it's good. So throughout Genesis 1, the text says God saw that it was good. And at the end of creation, in Genesis 1, verses 31, it says God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Isn't it awesome that the foundation of creation was based on it was good? All that God had made was very, very good. Just think for a moment. God created something beautiful and good to reflect who he is. Everything around us is good, and it reflects God, including you and I. I want to give some reflection on the goodness of us being created in God's image. But before we get there, I'd like us to take some time to reflect on who God is. And I want to highlight two attributes of God to you this morning. The first being that God is good. I was struck at some ancient myth stories that I've read recently. In those stories, the gods created for themselves. The world was for their enjoyment and for their existence. Humankind was created as an afterthought to be used for slave labor to do tasks that the gods did not want to do. And some of the stories tell of the founding of creation on death and spilt blood, of wars between gods and humankind getting all caught up in that conflict. So really, at the end of the day, humankind is just at the mercy of the gods. Unlike the story we find in Genesis tells of a God who took darkness and formless void and created order out of it. And God then very intentionally created creatures and vegetation and humankind to fill the earth. God created because he wanted to, not because he was bored. God created the world not purely for his own enjoyment and existence. He created a world where all things function to benefit all. Evening and morning give sense of time and season. Dry ground was separated from water so that vegetation could grow. The greater light and the lesser light to rule the day and night give sense of rhythm to days and weeks and months. Creatures and humankind depended on plants for food, and plants depended on the sun and moon and rain and all those good stuff to produce. This world God created reflected how good he is. And we see a good God who delights in his creation. In Genesis 1, the word good is repeated 6 times. That's a lot of goodness. And I'm sure God took a lot of delight in all that he created. The second attribute that I want to highlight is God is communal. So when we did that turbo manuscript, someone mentioned the word created, someone mentioned the word image and likeness that was repeated. In Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness." God uses us, which is plural, signifying more than just one. God exists in community. The mystery of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons yet one. And it is in this us that humankind was created. So we embody the communal aspect of God in us. More than just being communal, God is also diverse and different. In Genesis 1, verses 1, the word God in Hebrew is Elohim, and it is the masculine pronoun. In Genesis 1, verses 2, the word spirit in the spirit of God that hovered over the water, the Hebrew word is ruach, and it is the feminine pronoun. So God as Elohim and the spirit, ruach, are different, yet they're one. And we're created in that way, male and female. God created humankind. Together, it speaks to the reality that God exists in community, not as a singular entity. And true to his nature in the created world, in the creation of this world, he created community, both in the way that we internally seek out community and the ways that we externally express that. He created humankind, not just as a generic singular humankind, but humankind expressing his nature, male and female. And he commands them to be fruitful and multiply. So really, it means go make more humankind so that community can exist. We naturally seek out for community. So I shared my story earlier this morning, moving from Malaysia to Canada, and the first thing that I wanted and longed for was community. In our ministry, we know that students on campus seek out for community, so we intentionally create space where people can find community with us. God's nature is one that is communal. It only seems natural and right that we have that desire for community. God is a communal being, and he's good. Both of those attributes will help us understand the goodness of our createdness in the image of God. Now, have you ever wondered why we were created in God's image? I think a couple of people asked that question this morning. Believe it or not, that's me. I don't. And that's my parents, married many years ago. I have a hard time believing that tiny little person is me because I would flip through photos growing up looking at them really closely, asking the question, do I look like my mom or do I look like my dad? Or do I look like neither? My siblings and I ask the exact same question. Do we look alike? Do people believe that we're siblings if we say that we are? See, my sister's pretty petite and fair. You can't really see there, but she's more than half my size. So people naturally think that she's Chinese because she's so fair, and everybody will come up to her and speak in Chinese, and she says, I don't understand a word. I don't speak Chinese. My brother, on the other hand, has very dark complexion. Once we were on a family vacation, and a stranger came up to my mom and asked if he's the hired hand of our family, because he was so dark and we did not resemble like any one of us. And as for me, I'm somewhere in the middle, and everybody mistakes me for my mom's sister, which is a compliment to her, but not to me. I know. So there you have it. That's my family. And whether we all look similar or not, I know the truth is that we're all related. I reflect my parents' image, and my siblings and I, in some ways, look alike because we share the same parents. All of us in the room today reflect our parents' image. We were created in such a way that we bear the image of those who created us. More than just our parents, we also reflect the image of God within us because God created us to reflect Him. I believe we're created in God's image because He is good and He just can't help Himself. What I mean by that is that it's who God is. He cannot be anything else except good. So out of that, He created humankind to reflect His image. Now the question is, what's so good about being created in His image? Earlier on, we reflected on God as one who exists in community, God as triune, God who is not just a singular being. We also reflected on God as being good. I believe it's good to be created in His image because He expresses Himself in and through us. When we did our little turbo manuscript, the word image and likeness were mentioned. What does the word image mean? In Hebrew, the word image is selem, which means a phantom or a resemblance. This word is often used in reference to the word idol. In the ancient world, an image was believed to carry the essence of that which it represented. So to be created in the image and likeness of God means that we are selems of God. This does not mean that the selem can do all that the deity does, nor does it mean that it looks exactly like the deity. So this means that we're not God. It's like a mirror image. If you stood in front of a mirror, you'll see your reflection. It looks just like you, but that mirror image is not you. Like the story I just shared, I reflect my parents' image, but I'm not my parents. Likewise, we reflect God's image, but we're not God Himself. So following this understanding, to be created in the image of God means that, one, we carry the essence of the one which we represent, and that's God. But we're not God ourselves. So in what ways do we then carry the essence of God? In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, so God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. That's a lot of created words in there. A couple of things comes to mind from this verse. One, humankind was created in and through community, which is the expression of who God is. Genesis 1, verse 26 says, let us make humankind in our image. Secondly, humankind was created to be diverse. Genesis 1, verse 27, male and female, He created them. God did not just create a generic human being. He created different types, male and female. Yet they are both equal because they reflect the essence of who God is. Earlier, I made mention of the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, which is masculine pronoun, and the word spirit, Ruach, which is the feminine pronoun. And true to who God is, He created humankind to reflect who He is, both the masculine and feminine characteristics. Secondly, we carry His essence. as seen in Genesis 1, verse 26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. God freely gave humankind dominion over the fishes and the birds, the cattle, the wild animals, all the creepy crawlies. He gave dominion to both male and female. That said, we don't have dominion over everything because we're not God. He ultimately has dominion over all, but he does give us some kind of dominion over creation. And thirdly, in all of creation, humankind is the only created beings that were made in the image and likeness of God, and we were given the breath of life. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. God came very intimately close to humankind and breathed into humankind's nostrils the breath of life. Imagine with me for a bit. Imagine God fashioning a humankind from dust. And then he gets up close and breathes right into his nostril. And with that, humankind became a living being. We carry God's essence because God personally created us to reflect him. So what's so good about being created in God's image? We reflect who God is. All of his goodness, his expression of community, his expression of diversity, and we've been given dominion over certain types of creation. We're uniquely created, we're created in his image, and we were given the breath of life. And God is good. That's who he is. And we reflect that. So what does it mean for us today? Now, when I do scripture study with my students, we always end our time together by applying what we've learned. And this happens through reflective questions. So this morning, I'd love for us to apply what we've heard and receive. And I'm going to leave you with a couple of questions to reflect. So you think about yourself as a Tselem, so an image of God. How does your life reflect God to those around you? What is one concrete way you can reflect the goodness of your being created in God's image today? Let me pray for us. God, you're good. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating creation. And thank you that everything was good. And thank you that when you created us, we bear and reflect you. So would you help us today to go out and to be people that reflects your goodness and your image. In Jesus' name, amen.